This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Shay Robbins.
Today, we're going to continue our series and we're going to talk about discipline. You may not like the rules, but I'll keep setting them. And as we dive into this topic of discipline in the home, I believe that I was selected for this particular topic because the Robbins family has outbred the rest of the teaching team. Yeah, so we have five ordinary, normal children, and then we have one spectacular, extraordinary child, and she counts as three. We just call her 6, 7, 8. And she pushes us to our limits. It's like you load the van and go to the effort of loading the van. And I'm in there getting everybody strapped up. And I finally get out and my back's ready to explode. And then I look in the van. I'm like, where's 6, 7, 8? Gone again. In fact, this is pretty amazing. Last night, we're driving home from dinner. And 6, 7, 8's in the back seat picking her nose. And just so you know, a general part of our parenting strategy is to teach our kids not to pick their nose. But she's back there picking her nose, and all of a sudden it starts to bleed. And ordinary, normal children will just, you know, bury their head in their hands and say, you know, I've got a nosebleed. Not 6, 7, 8. She starts to thrash violently, and blood is spewing from her nose all over the back of the swagger wagon. And it's very rare that Daddy Robbins will pull over the van, because it takes forever to get anywhere. Normally, I'll just send Ashley back to go into yoga van mode and, you know, deal with whatever's going on back there so we can get to our destination. But I pull over the van, and this child has blood. It's like turning on a faucet of blood flying out of her nose, and she's like spitting and throwing her hair around, and it's just absolutely everywhere. And it's funny, I don't know if they're in here today, but Dennis and Sandra Rogers, when they pull into work tomorrow morning, to Stitchin' at its finest out on East 76 Highway, they're going to see blood splattered on their driveway. It was 6, 7, 8. So anyway, I'm here with you, and I just feel extremely humble to be teaching on discipline because we are far from having this all together. But as I've been studying this, he kind of just put this sentence or this truth on my heart that has eased me, and I want to share it with you as we begin. And the truth is this, that I'm just one of God's kids who's been charged with raising some of God's kids. And that eases my heart knowing that God is the Father of all, and He's just given me a responsibility to be faithful with. You know, if you've been a parent for any amount of time, that you can't control your child. I mean, we talk about from control to influence, but ultimately, God is the one that's in control. And we do our best, the best that we can. And fortunately, we do it with His help. And the whole discipline process in the home, it's a part of growing myself up as a parent, and ourselves up as a parent, just as much as it is growing our kiddos up. You know, when I want to jump to this next slide, and this is really the heartbeat of the whole conversation. So if I was to put an overarching theme, it's this, that the heart of discipline in the home is to show our kids who God is. And that's kind of a heavy statement because it's a massive responsibility. But ultimately and truly, kids who are raising up God's kids, we set out, we want to show kids who God is. And if we're going to do that, if that's the journey that we're going to set out on, we've got to answer a massive question first, and that is, who is God and what is His character? And so to answer that question, we go to Exodus 34. And Exodus 34 is a unique text where Moses would go up on the mountain and he would speak with God and give Him instructions for God's people. And at this particular time when Moses goes up on the mountain, God tells Moses who He is. And this is a quote from God, God's words. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. And so you get to see, just in a few sentences, a full picture of who God is. You get to see his love and his compassion, his eagerness and willingness to be a forgiver of sin. But at the same time, you see the character of his justice, that there is no sin that will go undealt with. And in fact, that's a great way to put it. Sin will ultimately be reconciled one way or another. For those who have a relationship with Jesus and who have accepted his sacrifice on the cross for our sin, all of our sins will be forgiven, dealt with. But for those who have rejected that sacrifice, all of that sin will be dealt with through punishment. So no matter where, or no matter what sin it is, it will all be dealt with one way or another. And in that character, you get to see the beauty and the perfection of who God is. And as parents, that's how we get to move forward with our kids, is we want to show them both the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy, and the kindness of God, but at the same time, to instill in them a healthy fear, reverence of God. Proverbs 1:7, it says, the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. And so as we go out and we try and do that, it's easy to err one way or another. So some of us will err on the side of harsh truth. Many times, and this is kind of a generality, but many times dads err on the side of harsh truth. That's definitely where I fall as a dad when I'm not walking by the Spirit. I recently met a man, an older gentleman, who I now call a friend. But as I sat down and have multiple interactions to get to know him, he shared that he, you know, was raised in a home where his father ruled with an iron fist. He was abusive, and as this man grew up and then became a husband and a father of his own, he ruled in the same manner. As a result, he ended up divorced from his wife, and his only son, left him, went to New York City, is living a homosexual lifestyle, and won't even talk to his dad. And he will tell you today, there's no one left. Even his brother and his sister won't have anything to do with him. It was a man who dealt in harsh truths his entire life, and he chased off everyone that he cared about. It's a sad story. Well, on the other side of things, some of us tend to err on the side of passive kindness. Another story, this is actually some friends of ours who live in Texas who... they've got a 9-year-old daughter, just the age of one of our kiddos, and she is wrestling with her sexuality and her gender like a lot of elementary kids do. It's perfectly normal. And this husband-wife team has made the decision that we're going to err on, or I wouldn't say that they're saying they're erring, but we're going to take the position of being loving her right where she's at and letting her figure out her path in life. And I'm fearful for that little girl because they're lacking the guidance of a mommy and daddy as she figures out her femininity and who she is as a little girl. She runs around in boys' t-shirt and shorts and has her hair cut short like a boy, and she's missing out on guidance that mommy and daddy are responsible for. Proverbs 3:3 has been a passage that's been on my heart for the last several months. It's kind of popped up in the middle of June and has been one of those sacred echoes that's been popping up in my life over and over again. So I spend time with the Lord, I just feel him sending me to Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 3, I memorized the first day I laid eyes on it because it struck me so profoundly. It was appropriate for where I was at in life and continues to be so. But Proverbs 3:3, it says this. It says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. It says, bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. That passage is a beautiful cross-reference from the Exodus 34 passage because they show that beautiful complexion, that beautiful blending of God's love and God's truth. And as a daddy and as parents, this is a great passage to help calibrate us as we enter into these disciplined conversations in our home. On multiple occasions, Paul charged both the Ephesians and the Colossians. He told daddies to not be harsh, do not exasperate your children, to drive them to anger. And so a calibration for me as I'm interacting with my kiddos is that I want to be reminded that I want to move forward with both truth and kindness in order to raise them up in a godly way. A couple weeks ago, I was having a knockdown dragout with Knox. Knox cannot stand the texture of fruit and vegetables, you know, the most healthy things in life. And so we have to pretty much blend everything and put them in smoothies to get anything good in his body. But this particular night, Ashley had drawn the line in the sand, and all he had to do was to eat one forkful of sweet potatoes, and he had about 1.5 ounces left of his smoothie. It had carrots in it, and they weren't ground up fine enough for his palate. And so we're just duking it out, and he was digging his heels in, and then he starts crying and throwing a fit, and I said, get out on the back porch. He's robbing our home of peace. So I sent him outside to think about it with a sweet potato and his smoothie. And so he goes out there and we continue cleaning up. And then I hear the screaming outside. He's like, Dad, the bugs are biting me. And I go outside. I said, son, all you have to do is eat one fork and drink this much smoothie. We can be inside in 5 seconds, but they're biting me. He's throwing a fit. And I said, son, you are better. No, and I said, if you just eat it, this will be over. And he says, Dad, I'm going to puke. I said, if it's better for you to be obedient and to puke than to be disobedient and be eaten alive. Which brings me to my next point. Discipline in the home is a partnership with the Holy Spirit to guide kids into reverential awe of the Lord. So I was hot-tempered in the moment, and I had that prick of the Holy Spirit saying, son, you need to soften up on your son. And so I go back outside, and I knew I needed to meet him with kindness. And I wasn't going to back down. I was going to hold the line, but I needed to meet my son with just gentleness. And so I go out and I get down on my knees and I look at him. I grab his face. I said, son, do you know your daddy loves you? He said, yes. I said, do you know why we help you eat vegetables and fruit? He said, yes, because it's good for me. I said, yes, son. And we're going to hold this line because I don't want you to grow up and become ungrateful and unhealthy and disobedient. I said, do you want to be those things? He said, no. I said, what do we need to do?
Finish my dinner.
Okay. So Knox choked down his smoothie. He ate a sweet potato, puked on the deck, and we walked inside. True story. Felt like a win to me. I want to give a Kathy Jensen quote that kind of sums this up really well. She said, parent the heart and not the behavior. It's important that we don't get caught up in behavior modification. Most of the time when kids are acting out, they're acting out because there's something going on in their little hearts. And as parents, we got to get beyond the fight and we need to get to the heart. That's what makes the difference and moves the needle forward in kids' lives. I also think it's important for us to be honest. The discipline is hard to deliver. 6, 7, 8. Perfect example. And a lot of times it is easier or sometimes more convenient just to let things slide. And this is totally Robbins 101, where you got you're spinning a number of different plates, and there's this one that talks back, gets smart, whatever needs to get corrected, and it would just be easier to send them to the shower. But it's in those moments where all of us, I just feel like we need to run to Scripture to be reminded of the good fruit that follows the discipline when we lean in to go after our kiddos' hearts. So here's a handful of scriptures that I dug up, and Proverbs is chock full of them. Proverbs 13:24 says this, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother." Proverbs 29:17, it says, "Correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul." So in each case, the charge to discipline is coupled with a promise. And it's a promise that we all want for our children that helps push me over the edge to move into that intentional space and follow through on discipline in the home. On the other hand, it's also difficult to receive discipline. We all know this, and this speaks to each one of us. A couple scriptures here, Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which your Lord, your God, gives you." That's the fifth commandment from the Ten Commandments, the first commandment with a promise. Hebrews 12:11 says this, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." This week I was blessed to be able to go on a kind of a spiritual slash leadership retreat out to Winter Park, Colorado. And I went with a van full of my best buddies and colleagues. About half of them are older than I am and are dads that I absolutely revere. And we got to do a bunch of fun stuff. We went mountain biking and rode four-wheelers and climbed mountains. And every day we come back feeling a little more sore and bent out of shape. And so we spent a lot of time in therapy in the hot tub. And in preparation for this message, I was picking the guy's brain during one hot tub sesh. And I'm just like, give me, you know, what pearls of wisdom do you have in regard to discipline in your home? And it was so awesome, just like wisdom poured out of these men. And so I've got a few pearls of wisdom from the hot tub for the church family today, all right? In fact, I think we should do a whole series on this, but we'll start with these seven in regard to discipline. So number one, they charge to have a marriage-centered home. So in our home, we want to have the foundation of God's Word underneath our feet, with Jesus being the cornerstone. And for those of us who are married, the husband-wife team is the center of the home. We are the decision makers. So goes us, so goes the home. And, you know, this is something that you'll hear at our church over and over again, is Hebrews 13:4, that marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. We're passionate about eradicating a child-centered home and putting mommy and daddy together as a unified front to lead the family. As I mentioned earlier, again, this is a generality, so don't hold me to it, but generally speaking, guys can tend to err towards a harsh truth in discipline, and women can tend to err towards a tender, passive kindness. But when those two are combined, what happens? A beautiful, godly blend. It's a picture of a husband and wife being more godly together than they were apart. And that's what a unified front looks like when we parent in the home. Now, for those of you who are now have grandkids, one of the awesome things that you get to do as background singers, you get to come behind your kids and support them raising their grandkids. And this is going to require some communication, because odds are your kiddos have made a few tweaks to your parenting style, okay? It's super important that grandpas and grandmas are given a voice to give wisdom. And then grandpas and grandmas need to come behind whatever the standard is in the home, and they need to support it. And it's really cool how you can have a family that becomes multi-generational and they join together to raise awesome kiddos. And the Robbins family is fortunate to have both a grandpa and grandma on both sides of the family that have gotten behind us, and our kids are the benefactors as a result of it. Here's the second one, wisdom from the hot tub. The goal of discipline is repentance, not compliance. However, many times compliance will suffice. Right? So the Holy Spirit does the convicting. It's always our goal for the kid, for kids to experience the power of the gospel in a disciplined conversation. We want to help them recognize that I am in the wrong, that they're in sin, to take ownership of that, and then to go to God and seek forgiveness, and go to relationships and seek forgiveness and reconciliation. And every single gospel, or excuse me, every single disciplined conversation is a gospel conversation. Isn't that amazing? You ever wonder, how do I share the gospel with my kids? Punish them. I sounded like Ted there, didn't I? He's rubbing off on me. But at the same time, we cannot force kids to have a repentant heart. We could probably force them to apologize, but the genuine heart change that we truly desire from them, that comes from God. And we need to be okay with compliance at times and in seasons. Here's number three. Tuck-ins are a discipline-free zone. I am so wildly passionate about this. A peaceful, loving tuck-in is the most important thing that you can do when you and your kids are at odds together. When your kids are in the greatest state of rebellion, the value of that tuck-in, it just skyrockets. And so no matter how much strife there is, no matter how much disrespect, no matter how angry you are, it is so important for mommies and daddies to die to ourselves and remember holding that little rugrat in your arms as a baby, and to walk in there, to get down on their level, and to love them right where they're at, to communicate how much you love and adore them. There is something sacred about tuck-ins. And it doesn't matter how old they get. From 0 to 18, it's important. Because when a child's head lays down and it hits the pillow at night, the defenses come down because their little hearts are weary, and all of the emotions of the day will begin to swirl as they head to sleep. And that intimate space is a place of ministry for a mommy and daddy, just to shower them with the love and grace of God. Again, you don't back off whatever discipline is in place. You wake up the following morning and you hold the line. But that time of intimacy, it's just so potent and powerful. Number four, championship teams call timeouts. I love this in families, in businesses, and on teams. So if you were to watch really great teams, if you're to watch the Clemson Tigers, you'll see Dabo Swinney, when the team starts to lose momentum, or perhaps the momentum's switches, he'll call a timeout and he'll bring his guys in and make adjustments, and then send them back out on the field. That would be a proactive example of calling a timeout. There's other times where the wheels come off and a timeout you have to call in desperation. Both kinds, both proactive and in desperation, they both matter. You got to use them both. But as much as we can be proactive to bring our family in and call a family timeout. And then here's what you do when you're in that setting. Is you cast a vision for a better future together. In other words, you ask, okay, son, what kind of man do you want to grow up to be? Daughter, what kind of woman do you want to grow up to be? What do you want our home to be like? What do you want it to feel like? What do you want our relationships between mommy and daddy and kiddo to be like? And so we build that vision together, and then we cast that vision for the future. And then we decide together, okay, what do we need to do as a family to move towards that goal? And together you can take those things, and it's amazing how capable and smart kids are. They'll know what needs to happen in order to get from here to there. And so we find our path to reconciliation and strength as a family and fun, enjoyment, etc., by calling these little timeouts and bringing everybody together and getting on the same page. And when you break the huddle, you go out on the field and you move towards your goal. Call regular, proactive timeouts as a family. Number five, stay consistent. It's just a season. One of the dads shared a story about his junior high son. When he was in sixth grade, all of a sudden he started putting deodorant on and wearing nicer clothes to school and putting gel in his hair. And we realized we had a girl problem sparking up. And so this dad and mom, they started to get worried. You're like, well, what should we do? He's too young to be worrying about this stuff. And he said 3 months later, his hair was disheveled, his shoes were untied, and he ran out the door and went to school, and that's the way it's been ever since. And when he told that story, I got a kick out of it and just remembered, hey, kids change so fast. Stay consistent. Hold the line. And many, many times in our family and in our life, we've been banging our heads up against the wall with a particular kid and with a particular issue. And then all of a sudden, we look back and we're like, it's been 2 weeks since he or she was doing that. Kids change fast. And so we want to cater to the uniqueness of each child, but also understanding that seasons will come and go as they're growing up. And that's okay. Number six, yes, you can. I think that this statement is especially important for parents of teenagers. A lot of times in a teenage home, things become undesirable, like the home, the atmosphere, relationships might be at a point where you're just like, this is not where I want it to be, but I feel like we're just too far gone. And what I want to encourage you today is, yes, you can. You can do something about it. It's going to be hard. Screen time is a really good example of this. So, you might have a kid who from the age of 14 to 16 has unrestricted access to their cell phone. Look at it night and day. There's no rules around it. And you know that if you take it away, limit it, change the standard, that they're going to lose their mind. And it might not seem worth it. Or you might feel like it's not going to work. And my statement to you is, yes, you can. It is going to be hard. But if you are convicted by the Holy Spirit, this is the right thing to do for my family. It doesn't matter how long we've been doing it wrong. Today, we can start to do it right. And one of the blessings I've seen, and specifically watching other families do this, is that when they take that step of courage and they go through the hard season, that when they get on the other end of it, the fruit is just tremendous. So I encourage you, yes, you can. And here's the last one. I started with this. I hit it in the middle of the message, and I'm going to end with it. Partner with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's got some specific roles that are here to help you. In fact, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the helper. Anybody need help raising their kids? He sent us. It's funny, isn't it? It's like, it's so funny, it's true. Or so true, it's funny. We need the Holy Spirit. Some of those roles, specifically the Holy Spirit was sent to be the convictor of the world. You can't convict your kid, but the Holy Spirit can. He was sent to remind you of the things that Jesus said. There'll be times in disciplined conversations where you'll feel like, I don't know what to do or say. And that's when you need the Holy Spirit to speak into that space. I'm going to end with this point. And I want to speak specifically to the parents who feel like it's too late. And some of you, your kids may have been out of the home for decades. But I have a story from a relationship that developed this summer that I think will be an encouragement to you. Met a young man named Ryan who was wrestling with some sin and some bad habits. Specifically, he was really caught up in his perception to women or the way that he was perceived. He would gain his value from, how many women he was having sex with, or if he did or didn't have a girlfriend, what he looked like in the mirror. As we dove into that, like where is this coming from? Again, we parent the heart and not the behavior. So as we went to his heart, it came out that as a kid, on maybe just a half dozen occasions, his mom, he was a chubby little guy, his mom told him that he was fat. And she said that you've got to get ripped in order for any girls to like you. Well, as a young man, those words sliced open his heart. And they have wreaked havoc in his life ever since. In the midst of the fertile grounds of that wound, he began to believe those lies, that he was only as valuable as what the girl he liked thought of him. He was only as valuable as many notches as he had in his bedpost. And then even behind that, he had made some vows or some promises to himself. I'm going to do everything I can to look good in front of women. I'm going to do everything I can to hook up with as many as I can. And as I listened to his story, I gave him a challenge. I said, Ryan, I want you to go home and I want you to tell your mom what happened and the way it made you feel. He did that about a week later, and he came back glowing from that conversation. He shared his heart, and his mom did three things. The first thing she did is she listened. The second thing that she did is she validated his pain, and she took accepted responsibility for what she had done. And the third thing she did is she asked her son for forgiveness. And that moment healed his heart and changed his life. Now, Ryan is far from perfect, but what God did in a snap is he reconciled a wound that had been festering for 15 years. And to the mom and dad who feel like it's too late, I want to encourage you to press into those. And you might find out that after decades of strife, that in a moment your relationship can be renewed. If you would you guys rise and pray with me? And to those moms and dads that feel like they need some help, perhaps need to process through the next step or even need to ask for forgiveness, our prayer team will be down at the front and would love to just process life with you. They're here as a resource to you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you with thankful hearts that you are loving, kind, and just. Thank you for being patient with us, and thank you for the opportunity to invest and disciple up the next generation through our families. We pray blessings on these families, that you'd give them wisdom and endurance, Lord, and that you'd help us to be godly men and women, and godly mommies and daddies. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.